Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we like to think of Intelligent Medicine as one of the best-kept secrets on the health front because we provide you with, well, a background story, sort of a critical approach to some of the lamestream media reports on health. 888-302-3684 is our number if you care to call us. And I see we have actually some callers who are trying to avail themselves of my expertise. 888-302-3684. We got lots to talk about this hour and next. For those of you who get 2 hours of our program, this program is streamed live from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time every Saturday. And for some of you, you may be hearing the program on your local radio station at a different time, maybe for an hour, maybe for 2 hours. But you can always get archived broadcasts. On Monday morning, we post our weekend show at drhoffman.com. And lots of interesting podcasts there as well, and lots of interesting articles. And we'll share some of that with you this hour. 888-302-3684. We'll talk a little bit about fried foods and salty foods this hour, according to some new studies. There's some surprising results in terms of some of the things that we have assumed about the effects of these foods. All right, before we get to that, though, a couple of stories that relate to the placebo effect. The placebo effect in medicine don't get no respect. Kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield of medicine. And doctors sometimes disparagingly say, well, if you feel better, well, that's just a placebo effect. They say that about homeopathic medicine. There's nothing in there, so anything that you're going to experience is a placebo effect. They often talk about acupuncture as simply a placebo. And that's negative because they're saying it's not really packing a real punch. You feel better, but you're just imagining it. Well, the power of the mind to heal is huge, and we should be harnessing the placebo effect rather than disparaging it, in my opinion. By the way, just a disclosure here. I never consciously apply placebos. That would be cynical to say to a patient, look, I know I can't help this patient, but I'll just give them this pill. I know it's not going to work, but at least the patient will believe that they're going to get better. And that's to the good, because while I don't really believe this is going to work, I'll just give it to the patient. No, I never do that. I implicitly believe in the therapies that I administer. It would have to work from my standpoint for me to administer to the patient. Nonetheless, the patient's belief in the efficacy of what I'm doing is very important. That's why I try to engage patients in a healing process. A patient who's despondent, hopeless, cynical, skeptical about a therapy is not going to do as well as a patient who is fully on board with it. So here are a couple of interesting studies on placebos. This one from Science Now, article by Karen Kaplan. Headline, expensive placebos work better than cheap ones, study finds. Researchers from the University of Cincinnati discovered an unusual clinical trial. They pitted two placebos against each other. In other words, they didn't use an active drug versus a placebo. They just used two placebos. But one was more expensive than the other. They recruited 12 patients with advanced Parkinson's disease, and they asked them to participate in a clinical trial of a medication described as a, quote, new injectable Parkinson's drug. And the study volunteers were told that there were two versions of the experimental drug, and they were believed to work equally well, but one version cost 15 times more than the other. They didn't actually have to pay for the drugs because this is an experiment, but they were told that one was much more expensive. And lo and behold, 67% of the patients were judged very good or having had marked improvement after they took the expensive placebo. That's pretty good. It did absolutely nothing from a biochemical standpoint, compared with 58% after they took the purportedly cheap placebo. So even the cheap placebo worked, but the implications of this are astounding. You know, it may cause doctors to raise their prices, or alternatively, it may cast some doubt on the efficacy of free medical care, because if it's free, it may not sufficiently invoke the placebo effect. I'm very glad that when I broke my hip and I incurred about $30,000 in medical expenses, that it wasn't free. And even though I had, you know, I had to pay a significant amount of that, I didn't have to pay that much. I really don't think there was much about the placebo effect. I think expertise in surgery and orthopedic joint repair counts a lot towards a successful outcome. All right, this one is interesting, too. Also on the placebo effect, the effects of an injected placebo on endurance running performance. This is right up my wheelhouse because, you know, I'm a competitive athlete. I do triathlons and I run. And I'm always looking for that thing that's going to give me that performance edge, particularly, you know, as I get older, you'll say, oh, I need something. I need something to get me over the finish line. I want to improve my times. And I'm always looking for natural things. I field test things. You know, I believe in many natural supplements that can enhance performance and recovery. Well, this one is an injected placebo. All right. the stuff was named OxyRBX. That's the kind of thing you'd see on the label of something that you might buy in a big tub in a natural product store, you know, like Vitamin Shop, something like that. OxyRBX sounds awesome, but it was injected, all right? And it purported to have similar effects to recombinant human erythropoietin, which is something that raises red blood cell count, which is actually what Lance Armstrong got busted for. But, you know, it's like a natural way of raising your red blood cell count, and it's legal. All right, so they gave this to 15 endurance training club level men. They were average age 27. And during the placebo phase, participants self-administered subcutaneous saline injections daily, believing it to be OxyRBX. All right? They were giving themselves, they said, this is a miracle new ingredient. You're going to give yourself shots with this. But it was saline. It was salt water. And guess what happened? Race time improved significantly more in response to the placebo intervention. Participants reported reductions in physical effort, increased potential motivation, and improved recovery. That's pretty cool. Compared to control, the injected placebo improved 3 kilometer race time by 1.2%. That's pretty cool. And it's legal. You just got to believe that there's an active ingredient in it, although it's just plain salt water. The amazing effects of placebos, human belief and expectation have a big impact on healing and performance. 888-302-3684 is our number. Let's talk to Angel in Chicago. Just call me Angel in the morning. Right, Angel?
Exactly.
you've been hit with that your whole life, I'm sure.
Yes, I have. It's okay.
Okay. So you gearing up for that big snowstorm that's going to hit Chicago?
I'm afraid. Yes, I should be used to it by now, but
You're going to be able to binge watch episodes of Mad Men on Monday. So queue up your video for Monday because it's going to be.
Oh, I'm going to binge on the podcast that I missed from you from the past. That's what I'm going to do.
Excellent. That's an even better idea. Now there's a healthy idea because I actually have an article in my pile of articles I want to share with you today about the effects of binge watching TV. It actually highly associated with depression. So if you're finding yourself watching episode after episode of Sons of Anarchy, you know, on a snowy day, you just might find your state of mental health deteriorating. Anyway, what's the question?
Warning. Okay. I was calling because my mom...
Are you on a speakerphone? Can you get on the regular phone, please? It's going to sound a little better for our listeners.
Okay, how is that now?
Better.
Better? Like okay, good.
Yeah.
My mom had total knee replacement surgery, and she was always told that prior to any surgeries or dental services, she would need to take an antibiotic.
Yep.
So she's due to go back to the dentist, and her doctor recommended amoxicillin. So I was wondering what you thought about that or her using natural antibiotics.
Well, here's the problem. Once you have a joint replacement, what happens is inside your body, in the interior of your body, you have an unnatural surface. And sure, it's a smooth surface that articulates like a ball socket joint in your hip or in your knee in this case, possibly in your shoulder. And that surface, as try as they might, it is not like the original equipment. And it's a foreign body, and it has a tendency to attract what are called biofilms. Now, we talk a lot about biofilms in connection with the mouth when it comes to periodontal disease, dental cavities, in the sinuses when we talk about chronic sinusitis and nasal congestion. And we've done some podcasts recently about xylitol and the benefits of xylitol in breaking down these biofilms. But the xylitol, you know, you have to chew it in gum or you have to spray it in your nostrils. You can't, you know, inject the xylitol in your knee or drink the xylitol to get into your knee to break down those biofilms. And the biofilms potentially can cause bacteria to lodge there. And once you have a colony of bacteria that's living on the metallic or plastic surface of a joint, an artificial joint, that's dangerous. That can cause a local infection or it can spread bacteria throughout the body. So, unfortunately, you know, I wish I could say, well, you know, take oregano, take lots of olive leaf extract. These are potent natural antibiotics, but they're not as dependable in their action as the pharmaceutical antibiotics. And plus, you know, your doctor's never going to tell you, don't worry, you don't need to take antibiotics, because God forbid if there's an infection and he's signed off on it's okay to not take antibiotics, there's a lawsuit pending. So a lot of this is there's medical liability associated with this. It's very, very unlikely that a dental procedure will cause an infection. You know, every time you have a dental procedure, you go deep into the gums and you do a cleaning. And, you know, when I go for dental cleaning, boy, they really go deep. They go floss deep, and they use that, you know, that wicked-looking hook, you know, on your teeth. They go deep, and the bacteria that reside within your gums, they get pushed into literally into your bloodstream. And usually your immune system is strong enough to take care of that. But for people who have artificial heart valves, artificial joints, or serious valvular abnormalities, used to be everyone who had a heart murmur, they would say take antibiotics, but now they've waived that. It's only serious, very, very floppy valves where they tell you to do the antibiotic prophylaxis. There's no way around it. I'm sorry, Angel. I wish I could tell you, you know, to take the natural stuff, but you can't. All right? Thanks very much for your call. 888-302-3684. That's our number for this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. and there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. Ohira's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. Ohira's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference.
Dr. Ohira's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. All right, this item, salt, universally decried as being harmful and a contributor to heart disease, high blood pressure, all manner of health problems. And in fact, the subject of proposed legislation here in my hometown of New York under former New York City Mayor Bloomberg to restrict sodium in restaurants in New York. Can you imagine that? All these haute cuisine restaurants in New York, you know, very tangy, seasoned food. They were going to restrict the salt. Well, you know, wasn't going to fly. But many health authorities call for a they call for a drastic reduction in sodium consumption by Americans. No question Americans salt their food to a high degree. Is it the culprit in our epidemic of disease? All right, there's a new study just out in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It suggests that dietary salt may have little or no effect on the risk for heart disease, even in older adults. And they say, well, the part of this might be racial, but this is a mixed group, 62% white, 38% African American. It's thought that African Americans may be even more susceptible to the effects of sodium. In this particular study, over a range of sodium from less than 1,500 milligrams a day, that's the goal. Many health authorities call for restrict your sodium to less than 1.5 grams per day to more than 2,300. That's about a teaspoon. There was no significant difference in the risk for cardiovascular disease, heart failure, or death. And that is, it's what I've been saying this for a long time, is different strokes for different folks. I mean, sure, you've got very, very bad hypertension. You've got water retention. You have severe congestive heart failure. Perhaps it's appropriate to have a tailored recommendation about your sodium consumption. But to restrict everyone in terms of their sodium, in fact, some people have a paradoxical response to sodium restriction. Their blood pressure goes up. Not a good idea. Why are we creating these national guidelines that make no sense? I just beyond explanation. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. When we return, more of your questions and more features on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. Ohira's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. Ohira's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. Ohira's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. Ohira difference.
Dr. Ohira's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. Let's take a call now from Judy in Suffern, New York. How are you doing?
Yes, Dr. Hoffman.
Hi, Judy.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. I've listened to you for many years.
Great.
My 26-year-old daughter was recently diagnosed with Crohn's disease. She's upset, and I'm upset. She doesn't want to have to take prescription drugs for the rest of her life.
Right.
What diet modifications does she need to do? What supplements can she take to help this situation?
It sort of goes beyond the scope of this call to tell her how to manage her Crohn's, but if you go to D.R. Hoffman, just Google D.R. Hoffman Crohn's. This is actually one of our favorite.
Yes, I read that article yesterday.
Great.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. So, yeah just Google it. And
right.
So, but I think it requires more than a recipe of supplements to take, because you have to kind of know when to hold, when to take some conventional medicine to tide you over.
Right.
There's some issues of management. But
exactly.
Certainly the specific carbohydrate diet offers a lot of benefit to many Crohn's sufferers. And at the very least, it can ameliorate the condition to make it possible to be on less drugs. Sometimes it's a home run and you don't require any medications and you go into full and complete remission with the diet alone. It may take 6,
okay.
12, or 18 months. That's worth trying. You got to stick to it faithfully.
Carbohydrate diet?
Yeah. The book is Breaking the Vicious Cycle by Elaine Gottschall. I actually wrote the foreword to that book many years ago. And there's many SCD support websites, specific carbohydrate diet is followed by many sufferers of inflammatory bowel disease. Many patients have severe IBS get benefits from that. There are even parents who are having their kids with autism follow that diet with great benefit, because a lot of people forget Elaine Gottschall was a lady who in the 1950s treated her young daughter, who was suffering from severe colitis, with a diet that had been recommended by her German physician, a physician trained in Germany in probably the early part of the 20th century. And he recalled that many patients with colitis got better with a unique type of diet. It's a grain-free diet. It's kind of like the paleo diet, but it allows certain carbohydrates, so you're not in full carbohydrate deprivation. It's not a no-carbohydrate diet. Just specific carbohydrates are allowed. They're legal, and some are illegal. And what was interesting is that her child was also exhibiting symptoms of what was then called infant schizophrenia. Of course, there is no such thing as infant schizophrenia. That was the old-fashioned term for autism. And those symptoms resolved. And on the occasion of Elaine Gottschall's death a few years ago, when she passed away, I had her daughter on the program. And she was fully articulate. I believe she has a PhD degree or a law degree. She's a high-functioning adult without colitis. And clearly not suffering from autism symptoms. And through that diet, Elaine became really impassioned about getting the word out about it. She wrote the book, Breaking the Vicious Cycle. She herself educated herself and received an advanced degree in physiology and, began to understand better how diet can impact Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis and other conditions. Even diverticulitis responds well to those patients. I've had patients with chronic diverticulitis who were, on the chopping block for surgery, possibly threatening to lose their intestines because of this condition. And with adherence to the diet, they've been well. So it's a very important. It breaks the vicious cycle of bacterial proliferation in the intestinal tract. And that is even conventional research scientists now agree that that may be the main driver of inflammation in the intestinal tract. The bad bacteria proliferate. They send signals to the immune system. The immune system overreacts, and you have an autoimmune disease, inflammation, bleeding, ulceration, and so on. So, other things to take, good supplements, high doses of vitamin D, high doses of fish oil are important. Also, we give patients anti-inflammatory nutrients like curcumin and boswellin and EGCG and a special fish peptide that is designed to heal the gastric mucosa. And certain probiotics make a difference, too. And sometimes you have to, do a little trial and error with the probiotics to get it right. So this condition that a lot of people, I think, have gotten better just by virtue of listening to me and reading the book Breaking the Vicious Cycle. Others may require fine-tuning and specialized attention from a nutritionally oriented physician like myself who's familiar with that. So,
are there any physicians in New Jersey? Is there a list online or
no,
a website?
No, there isn't. It isn't. I mean, it's. I think it's. It's a matter of finding a physician who's familiar with this condition, and it's not a directory or something. You know, a lot of people say, well, I would like to find a holistic orthopedic surgeon in, my neck of the woods, you know, in eastern Suffolk, Long Island. You know, and there's just not that many. You know, you're looking for subspecialties within the field of integrative medicine and in one specific region. Sometimes, you know, I get patients from all over the world. I get patients from Europe, from Africa, from Asia, because the expertise in this is, you know, few and far between. More and more now, more doctors are learning about this, but I'm not sure I can recommend anyone locally. All right, 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Robert. He's in Oakland, New Jersey. How you doing?
Yes, Dr. Hoffman?
Yeah.
I incurred a rotator cuff injury, and the orthopedic surgeon has suggested surgery after I had an MRI done.
Okay. How impaired are you? Are you having a lot of pain?
Well, after the first 2 months, the pain started to subside, but I have ongoing pain.
Okay.
And after 7 months, I decided to ask the doctor for an MRI to see what was wrong.
Are you athletic? Are you playing tennis, or is there a particular goal you have with your MRI?
Yes, I'm very active.
Okay. So, look, I mean, this really depends, because I got to say, rotator cuff surgery is not 100%. You know, like, there's certain types of surgery that'll just fix you right up. You know, like I broke my hip and I got the surgery and I'm fixed. I'm 100%. But if the rotator cuff is a very, very delicate structure within the body, it's in the shoulder and it involves a lot of muscles and tendons and attachments. And rotator cuff surgery is sometimes yields some satisfactory results, not 100% results. So you got to be pretty messed up or have a high demand for physical activity to pass the threshold where you want to get the rotator cuff surgery, in my opinion. It's going to get better. I don't want to disparage the surgeons because they're really fabulous, but it's just a tough joint to fix 100%. So are you considering any other alternatives to that? Any physical therapy you've been through, been there, done that?
Well, I haven't gone through physical therapy, but I did go on
the
web and saw.
You should. No, you absolutely should go through physical therapy, because I got to say that I think a lot of people want the magic of the surgery to fix them, and they don't want to do the work, which is boring as hell, to get their rotator cuff strengthened, because you want to strengthen the muscles, the very tiny muscles around there, with very light weights. I never had an MRI, but I got some shoulder soreness. I do rehab exercises, which are quite boring, a couple of times a week with very light weights to keep my shoulder joint strong and to avert the situation that you find yourself in now. And so you should do it. You should do the physical therapy. So, but you found something on the web that you want to ask me about?
Yes, is stem cell treatment an alternative that would work to correct the
Alternative suggests that it's like a one-for-one substitution. Like, okay, you can have surgery or you can have stem cell therapy. And stem cell therapy for joints is in its infancy. And it's one of those things that can work, can help to forestall surgery, regenerate the joint, alleviate pain and discomfort. Some people get a slam dunk out of it. Other people, it's just a temporary thing. There's a huge placebo effect with anything you do for a joint, you know, whether you inject it with hyaluronic acid, or whether you do prolotherapy, or whether you do stem cells, or whether you do platelet-rich plasma. It's often good for a while, and then you kind of get back to zero in terms of your mobility and pain level. So, you know, you definitely can contemplate that, because it sounds like, you know, we're not dealing with debilitating pain, but you must contemplate a program of physical therapy. And it doesn't work for everyone, you know, and you got to be careful, because the wrong kind of physical therapy can mess things up worse. But expert physical therapy can help and strengthen that joint and obviate the need for surgery. And that's the most natural way to repair and strengthen the rotator cuff, which is invariably weak as we age. This is not an unusual thing, and especially the way that we abuse our bodies, you know, playing tennis or whatever the heck we want to do, you know, pounding the weights in the weight room. You know, I see these, you know, 7-year-old guys bench pressing, you know, 200 pounds. You know, that is a lot of wear and tear on the shoulder and can damage your joints. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. We got lots of calls. We got lots to talk about. this hour and next on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merged ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If your wife or your girlfriend asks you, do these jeans make me look fat? You do not want to go there. Warning, alert. there's no way winning on that proposition. But according to a new study, your jeans may make you fat. Regardless of how you look in your actual genes from your chromosomes have an influence on your fatness. And this is actually something we're exploring now at the Hoffman Center with a new genetic test called Pathway Genomics. And we had a great podcast this week. You can access it at drhoffman.com. We have lots of additional inventory there, a podcast that you can listen to and download. With Dr. Michael Nova, who is Chief Science Officer for Pathway Genomics, we are now testing for genetic SNPs, polymorphisms in genes that are associated with proclivity towards overeating, lack of satiety mechanisms. In other words, it takes more to feel hungry, food cravings, and there's a whole bunch of these. There's a new study. Fried food consumption, genetic risk, and BMI, that's the body mass index. Big study, international study. And what they conclude, not too surprisingly, is that fried food makes you fat. Okay, that's a given. Because why? It tastes real good. Foods become crunchy, aromatic, palatable, and rich in fat after frying. We're going to have lots of those tomorrow at the Super Bowl. But your genes may make you more or less likely to go for fat food, or alternatively, not be able to limit your intake of fat food. This study looked at 32 variants in genes associated with fatness or BMI. And according to the study, there was indeed an interaction between fried food consumption and your genes. So, yeah, check it out. This is a new frontier of genetic testing. It's nutrigenomics. It helps us determine who is at risk and what they can do about it. We're just scratching the surface in terms of the benefits. Check out that podcast at drhoffman.com with Dr. Michael Nova. All right, let's talk now to Gary, calling us from Wisconsin. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing okay.
Are you chilling some air down for us over there that you're going to send our way this week?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's 32.9 right now outside. No wind.
Oh, well, that's a balmy day in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
oh,
I can go out and run around.
Yeah, absolutely. Get out in your bathing suit. All right, so what's going on there?
I got a question. I got prostate cancer, and I've had radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to these some kind of implant in my arm. It's a female hormone.
Mm-hmm.
To cut down on the prostate.
Actually, it turns out giving, and this is, you know, sounds weird, but giving a male estrogen-like hormones can slow the progression of prostate cancer. So that's what they're planning on doing with you?
Well, they've been doing this. I've been going now probably about 8-9 years.
Funny, you know, you don't sound like a soprano, you know.
I look like a woman, though.
Oh, you're starting to, you need the man's ear that they were talking about on Seinfeld?
The man's ear. I got to get a man's ear.
Yeah, that tends to happen when you stop your male hormones with these hormonal treatments and you take female hormones. Yeah, you get a sort of feminizing effect. So what's your question?
The question is that when they first started putting in those implants, they put them right in my bicep in my right arm.
Mm-hmm.
And they were made out of titanium.
Okay.
And then every year I have to go in and they would... The titanium one, he could poke them and, you know, and get them out.
Yeah.
Well, the newer ones, they're, I don't know what they're made of, a plastic or
probably
something.
Cheaper. They're cheaper. Yeah. Titanium is expensive. You know, I can tell you because I have a titanium bicycle. It cost a fortune. And so they're going for a cheaper material.
Yeah.
They're saving money on you.
Yeah, man, after my own heart. I got old. I used to ride bicycle, too, a lot.
Yeah. So you're worried about the material that they're using?
Yeah, well, no, the thing of it is that they can't get them out.
I think
there's five of them in there now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and the doctor tried that one. The last time I was there, I said, if you can get one or two of them out, I'd be happy.
Well, you know, look, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, you're describing, obviously, a device failure. And, you know, I don't think it's probably going to put you at too great a risk of health because they release their contents and then they just stay there. At worst, you know, there's some inert plastic in you, hopefully inert, because we know that plastic is not always inert, may release harmful compounds in your system, but that's maybe the least of your problems.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
You know, prostate cancer.
It's just that, you know, how many more can you put in there?
Well, yeah, I got to say this is above my pay grade because I'm not doing that kind of therapy for prostate cancer. What I can talk to you about is, you know, natural things that will slow your progression of prostate cancer. And I think you should pickle your body in the right nutrients. And, you know, this may sound, you know, a lot of people say, well, this guy's got advanced prostate cancer. What can you do for that? Well, you can do a lot. You can really slow the progression of that by taking high doses of EGCG from green tea, by taking adequate vitamin D, by taking fish oil, by taking broccoli extract called DIM or sulforaphane glucosinolate. We call it Broccomax is the name of the product that we use. And, you know, just using a combined approach, curcumin as well as anti-cancer properties, the way I phrase it to my patients, I say, you know, pickle your body in so many healthy nutrients that no self-respecting cancer cell would want to inhabit you. And that doesn't work for some cancers. Some cancers are very aggressive, but prostate cancer, you know, often responds to that, slows at the very least. It may not eradicate it, but that would be a good thing to try. All right? I got to run because I got another caller I want to try and get in before the end of the hour. Good luck to you, Gary. Let's talk to Fred in New Jersey. How you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Dr. Huffman, I'm a former patient of yours.
Oh, good. And you survived. You actually...
a very happy and grateful one. I have one of
those. You lived to tell the tale. That's great. Okay, good.
And I met the most beautiful and wonderful Layla as well, who helped me.
All right, yes. our the star of our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's a podcast.
Yes, so I can only recommend you to the highest. But my question to you, sir, is have you heard of or do you have any opinion on the hydrogen peroxide infusions?
For what? What in particular?
For elimination of bacteria, viruses, or fungus.
Okay. Yeah, let me tell you about that. This is what's called oxidative therapy. And oxidative therapy can be done with ozone. That's a popular therapy in Europe. It's done here a little bit illicitly because it's kind of quasi-legal. It's certainly not approved by the FDA. Hydrogen peroxide offers oxidative treatment to the cells and can kill bacteria, fungi, viruses, and so on. I have done it in the past. I shy away from it now because I'm concerned about the free radical load that these oxidative therapies subject the body to. However, intravenous vitamin C, now new studies are suggesting that you actually deliver hydrogen peroxide to the cells in a very, very safe way when you use high-dose intravenous vitamin C. You know, you're doing 35, 50, 75, or for cancer patients, over 100 grams of vitamin C in an infusion, and you will deliver very high doses of hydrogen peroxide directly to the cells where it's needed. The hydrogen peroxide doesn't come in through the IV, but it gets converted. Vitamin C gets converted to peroxide at the level of the cell, and this provides a very safe and reliable and legal delivery system for hydrogen peroxide. So we don't find the need to use hydrogen peroxide IVs. I'm concerned hydrogen peroxide IVs also can sometimes damage the blood vessels. You know, hydrogen peroxide is a caustic substance. You know, if you spill it on your jeans, it'll bleach them or it'll put a hole in your jeans. I'm not that happy with what that might do inside the human body. So I'm a little gun-shy about administering that therapy at this point. I know that there are well-meaning doctors who administer it and think it's helpful, but I think that the research on it is still a little weak. I'm Dr. Ronald Hahn. Okay, we got lots more to talk about. If you got another hour, and you can continue listening for hour two of this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684 for phone calls. Hope you stay with us.